Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, there are a group of billionaires that have entered into something called the Giving Pledge. Maybe y'all have heard about this, where they have committed to give away all or most of their money before they die. Some of those names you might recognize, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett are in this Giving Pledge Club. Let me give you another name. Anybody ever heard of a man named Andrew Carnegie? Some of you may have heard of Andrew Carnegie. He's been dead a long time now, but back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, he built a company called U.S. Steel. And at one time, Andrew Carnegie was the richest man in the world. In fact, during his later years, he would go on to fund and build over 2,500 libraries. Did you know that about Andrew Carnegie? Some of you may have known that, but he actually funded 2,500 libraries. What was Carnegie doing when he funded those libraries? What are the current billionaires doing by donating their fortunes now to help in medical research, poverty, and a number of other great causes? I believe what they're trying to do is to leave a legacy of some kind. Some might be more familiar with the word inheritance. Sometimes those words are used interchangeably. Carnegie left a legacy of libraries. The Giving Pledge participants are trying to leave an inheritance of helping people and society with their money. And although all of that sounds really good on the surface, it sounds like a great thing, here's what I want you to remember. At some point, those libraries that Carnegie built have either been knocked down or will be knocked down. All the money that these billionaires are leaving will serve a purpose for a time, but at some point that money is going to run out. Despite their intentions and what they were hoping to do. Today, we do honor the men in our house and everywhere. We're recognizing these men in our lives. And we're also, let me say, remembering some men like my dad, who just over a year ago went to be with the Lord. We're recognizing, we're remembering maybe some men in our lives that we don't have. Maybe there's some of you in here that didn't have a father active in your life growing up. It's okay. JoJo mentioned already, you have a father that will never leave you, ever forsake you. I want you to take some hope and peace in that today too. As the video pointed out that we just watched, today we're honoring biological fathers, men who are spiritual fathers, men who father others as mentors, as friends in some way. But there's one line in that video that I want to call your attention to. Maybe you missed it because there were so many other great things there. But there was a line that says, today we honor those fathers who are the embodiment of legacy. I want to talk about legacy today. Let me start by asking you this question. What is the legacy that you want to leave? What's the legacy that you want to leave? You see, this message today applies to everybody. This question is one that I hope you will ask yourself consistently, because it's important. Not just for the men. This message applies to all of us. Is your legacy or the inheritance that you want to leave, is it going to be centered on money or things or possessions? Will your legacy be tied to accomplishments like how many awards you might win or how many buildings get named after you? Do you want to leave a legacy of being the life of the party? You know, I was just the funniest guy or lady, and that's my legacy. I was just the life of the party. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I just want to leave a legacy of being a nice person. That's it. That's what I want to be known. That's my legacy I want to leave. Listen, is there anything wrong with some of the things I just mentioned? No. No, there really isn't anything wrong with them. But my question is this. Will it last? How long will it last? The Bible has a lot to say about legacy. I want to share two scriptures with you to kind of start things today. The first is found in Psalm 78. It says this, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children, so that each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." And then check out what it says in Proverbs 13, verse 22. "A good man," we serve a good God. None of us are really good, but in God, we can be good. "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Some powerful words about legacy, about inheritance that we find in God's word. You see, our Father, our God, has many wonderful attributes. And one of them is that we serve a generational God. You need to know that. I heard a pastor of ours many years ago, and I've maybe shared this with a few of you. Remember this, God ain't got no grandchildren. Let that sink in for a minute. You realize God does not have grandchildren. We do. I want you to think about that. When someone accepts Christ, they're a child of his. They're a child of God. God ain't got no grandchildren. Let that sink in for a minute. You see, God wants each person in each generation to know him, to place their hope in him, and to love and serve him. That's what God wants. And one of the ways that that can happen is the legacy that one generation leaves to the next. You see, God is a generational God. Our Father is calling us, you and I, to be legacy-minded people. God is calling us to be legacy-minded. But what inheritance, what legacy are we to leave? What is most likely to last? You see, I don't see anything in the scriptures that we just read that talk about money, fame, buildings, being a nice person, or being the life of the party. Didn't see anything in his word about those things. I believe with all my heart that God is calling us to leave a legacy based on things that will last, not on things that will be torn down. That first list, yeah, is it okay to leave money to people? Yeah, nothing wrong with it. But I want to talk about today building a legacy that lasts. And there could be a number of different things that we could look at in Scripture that would be defined as things that could last, but I want to talk about three of them today, specifically. Three layers of legacy that I hope and pray that we leave our children, that we leave those that we mentor, that we leave our families, and we leave those that are in relationship with us for the world to see. Before I give you the three, though, I need to give you the pattern of legacy, the formula, if you would. And it's actually, for those of you that like sermon titles, it's actually the title of the sermon today. Get it, live it, leave it. Would you just say that with me? Get it, live it, leave it. One more time. Get it, live it, leave it. My friends, that is the formula for leaving legacy. Let me explain what I mean by that. It's simply this. You can't give something to somebody that you don't have. You can't leave what you don't possess. You see, Carnegie could not have built all those libraries without getting the money first. then learning how to live and steward it well so that he could leave a legacy of libraries. See that? Psalm 78, the writer of that psalm, as he was communicating to those that he was encouraging to leave a legacy, you see, those people first had to experience God for themselves, then they had to live in a relationship with God, and then they were able to leave lessons for the next generation. Do you see the pattern? It's the same pattern for you and I. When it comes to leaving a legacy in our own life, we got to get it ourselves first. Then we got to learn to live in it. And then we can leave it to those coming next. All right, now, the three areas of legacy I want to talk about today that I believe are lasting, that won't crumble with time. The first is this. Let's leave a legacy of forgiveness. Here's what I see so often, and I've experienced in my own life. You probably have too. You see, there's this feeling that we're not forgiven. Has anyone ever had that experience? I'm not sure. Am I really forgiven? And that's a heavy burden for us to bear. Maybe you felt that way. Maybe you're feeling that way right now. You say to yourself, man, there's no way God can forgive that or this. Or, oh, if you only knew, Pastor. No, there ain't no way God's going to be able to forgive this one. You see, we struggle with that first, don't we? So many believers, Christians, struggle with this idea of complete and total forgiveness. And yet, when Jesus died on the cross, and when you accept Jesus as your Savior, at that very moment, your sins are gone. Not just some of them, not just a few of them, not that sin, Pastor. No, all of them are gone. Every last one. Sky could show you 15 other scriptures. They're at the bottom of the ocean. They're as far as the east from the west. However you want to look at it, they're gone. They're gone. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that we were dead in our sins, but in Christ, we are now made alive. And it says there again, all of our sins were forgiven. Not some. You and I need to get that. You need to get that. I need to get that in my spirit. Not some. And here's another one. Just because I mess up doesn't mean all my sins come back. Right? Oh, I messed. Oh, my forgiveness is done. It's over. No. Just because you mess up doesn't mean your sins haven't been forgiven. We got to get that here. More importantly, we got to get that here. We got to get that. Your sins are forgiven completely and totally. Because you see, once we can come to that belief and that realization, then we begin to live from a place of forgiveness. And living from a place of forgiveness looks like believing that Jesus died to actually give us complete forgiveness. And then once we are in that place, then we can actually extend that forgiveness to other people. But you see, we have a hard time forgiving other people because sometimes we don't believe we're forgiven. So if we don't believe we're forgiven, we think I don't have to forgive them because I don't even believe I'm forgiven. You see how that works? That's why we got to get it first. We got to get forgiveness first. Then we can give it. Then we can truly give it. When you get forgiveness, then you live from that place of forgiveness. And then we can leave a legacy of forgiveness. When our children, when our friends, when our families see us embrace God's forgiveness and then see us extend it to others and to them, then they can begin to experience the miraculous forgiveness of God for themselves. You see, that's how we're leaving a legacy of forgiveness. Let me show you what it looks like as the Apostle Peter explained it in Acts chapter 2. He said this, it's in verse 38 and 39. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now listen to this next line. "For the promise is for you and for your children." Do you see how that works? Wow. "And for all that are far off." Legacy, inheritance. Building and leaving a legacy of forgiveness is one of the most wonderful forms of inheritance that you can ever leave to your children, to your family, to your friends, because it can last. It can last. Let me give you another legacy that lasts that I believe God is calling us to leave. A legacy of healing. Legacy of healing. Isaiah chapter 53 says that not only did Christ come for the forgiveness of our sins, it says that by his stripes we are healed. Healed. Jesus came not only to bring forgiveness, but he also came to bring us hope and healing for the things that bring us pain and hurt. Here's the thing, oftentimes, when we experience the pain and hurt, we try and handle it by ourselves, right? We try and go into our mode and let me go look up this article, let me call a friend, or we don't do anything. We literally just sit there and suffer in silence. It's a way some of us handle pain. Let me show you what Psalm 107 shows us we can do with our hurt and our pain. It says this, "Then they cried to the Lord in their," what? "In their trouble. And he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them from their distress." My friends, there is power. There is healing power in God's word. If you go to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus himself said, "Look, if you have trouble, if you have burdens, bring them to me." Jesus said, "I will take your burdens. I will take your troubles." And his word says, "I will give you rest personally," is what Jesus said. "Bring me your troubles. Bring me your burdens." So when you are in pain, you have a Savior who can carry your burdens. When you're hurting, you have a God who can bring you healing. Living that out looks like running to God with your problems and sitting with him and letting him soothe your soul. Has anyone ever just sat with God and just closed your eyes and just prayed? Sometimes you have worship, whatever your time is, worship music, and you just let God start soothing your soul. My friends, there's no self-help book that can do that. There's no best friend that can bring you that comfort like that. Let God heal you. Let God heal you. He heals you with his word. Sometimes he'll even send people into your life. Anyone ever experience God sending someone into your life to help heal you besides me? God will send people in your path like JoJo was talking about. He'll heal you himself or he'll send people to help in your healing. Get God's help in your pain. Let your kids see that. Let others in your life see that. Let them see when the disappointments of life come, when the discouragement comes. Let them see you run to God and not run off to do something else. See, we have a lot of times and things that we use in place of God to deal with our pain. Addictions, sex, drugs, I could list all kinds of things that we turn to instead of running to God. Run to God when you're hurt. Run to God when you're disappointed. He can provide a help that no other thing can, that no other person can. Let God heal you. I say this without hesitation. If you look in your own life, and I think in general, if you look at the generational problems that run in families, they're almost always related to either unforgiveness of either yourself or somebody else and unhealed hurts. I will say that without hesitation. Almost every, some people call them generational curses. I'm just going to say generational issues that seem to go from generation to generation to generation are most often the result of some kind of unforgiveness and some kind of unhealed hurt. Do you see why it's so important that we leave a legacy of forgiveness? We leave a legacy of healing. That's why it's so important. And with God's help, we can do that. With God's help, we can do that. So that you can actually, the song says, Jesus is a chain breaker, but you can actually be a chain breaker. Do you see how, do you say, hey, right now, let me ask you this. There may be some of you here today. Your family's been dealing with generations of addiction. Maybe there's old feuds that continue to exist. A spirit of unforgiveness continues, or hurts that have been passed down from one generation to the next. Maybe you're experiencing that right now. If that's you, one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest things you can do is to bring the legacy of healing to your family, to your friends, to those you're in relationship with, so that they see God working it out in you, and then your children, your grandchildren, and God willing, even their grandchildren will benefit from that legacy of healing. You might be the one in your family that needs to start that. You might be the one that needs to be the chain breaker. It says, all right, enough is enough. From this day forward, I'm going to leave a legacy of healing. And I'm going to show my kids. I'm going to show those people I'm in relationship with. When I have a problem, I go to God to get healed. Show them that. Let them see that. And then you'll be able to tell the next generation, as it said in Psalm 78, about God's amazing power. Yes, come on. It's God's amazing power that brings healing. All right, let me share the third area of legacy that I'm calling us to leave today. I'm calling us to leave this last area of legacy. Brandon, if you'll come. It's called a kingdom first legacy. A kingdom first legacy. You know, Jesus explained this in Matthew chapter 6, 33, when he said, put first the kingdom of God, and all the other things you're worried about, I'll take care of. In essence, that's what Jesus said. You see, Jesus said, leaving a legacy of kingdom first is about priority. That's what Jesus said. On that day, Jesus talked to them about things like clothing and food. You know, they were all worried. His disciples were all worried that day. Well, what are we going to eat? He said, no. So first, he addressed kind of some very basic things, right? Hey, don't worry about the food and stuff. I got that covered. Don't worry what you're going to eat. Solomon and all his glory was never arrayed like one of the lilies in the field. You think I'm going to take care of you any worse than I take care of the lilies in the field is what Jesus said. No. God knows what you need. He knows what you need. But you see, we have a tendency to put other things as priorities before the kingdom of God. And Jesus recognized that about the group he was talking to, but he also was speaking to you and I. That we're going to have a tendency to let those things get ahead of the most important priority. So what things was Jesus talking about? Those food, but he also went on to say that it actually applies to everything in our life. And what Jesus said is, look, if you put the kingdom of God first as your very first priority, I'll take care of everything else. And then you actually don't have to be anxious about anything. That's what Jesus said. If you'll just do this, you actually don't have to be anxious about these other things that we all get anxious about. Right? That's what he said. Let me ask you this. What are your anythings and everythings? Your job, hobbies, sports, other relationships, your 401k? See, we all have anything and everything. If you're single and you desire to be married, God, Jesus knows that. If you're sick and need healing, Jesus already knows that. If you're anxious about your job, God knows that. If you desire to be a great dad or a friend or a mentor, whatever your anything and everything is, God already knows it. He knows what you need. In fact, the Bible says that every hair on your head, God has numbered. So if I have any bald people out there, that's cool. God knows, you know, it's just a phrase now. It means he knows everything about you, okay? It means he knows everything about you. You see, what Jesus is trying to get us to see is that if we will put God's plans and priorities, he will freely give us what else we need. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 puts it like this. He'll actually give you above and beyond anything that you could hope or imagine. Think about that for a minute. When you put God's plans and purposes first, when you have a kingdom first mindset, God will actually give you more than you could ever think of or hope for or imagine. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Living a prioritized life, a kingdom first life, is not only expressed in how we pray to God. It's revealed in how we spend our time, how we use our talents, and how we give back to God the resources and funds that he gives us. When your kids and others see you serving in God's house, you're leaving a kingdom first legacy. When you make being in God's house a priority in your life, you are living and leaving a kingdom first legacy. When you use your gifts and your talents to bless others, you're leaving and living a kingdom legacy. And every time you bring back to God the first of your finances to help build his kingdom here on earth, you are leaving a legacy that can last for generations. Did you hear me? What you're building here is what God's building here. And God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's never running out of resources. We just get to participate in doing that. Okay? A part of living and leaving a kingdom first legacy are those things. My friends, here on Father's Day, June 16th, 2024, challenge us to leave some legacies that will last. A legacy of forgiveness, a legacy of healing, and a legacy of putting God's kingdom first in all that we do. Can I just show you one other thing? And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I didn't actually realize this until I was about 90% done with my sermon. God just whispered in my ear through the Holy Spirit, go look at the Lord's Prayer. So I went to Matthew. You know, the Lord's Prayer, for those of you that may not know, in the Bible, Jesus prays all kinds of times. It's recorded, but there's only one time recorded in Scripture where his disciples actually asked Jesus, how should we pray? How should we pray? Only one time did Jesus ever answer. And it's called the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps you know it. So say it with me, and I want to show you something. So what's the first part? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So Jesus is saying, you got to put God in his place where he's supposed to be. What's the next part? Thy kingdom come. What did we just talk about? Kingdom. Kingdom is in the one time Jesus told us to pray. He said, pray for kingdom. It's part of the legacy. What's the next thing he says? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Check this out. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A lot of times that evil leads to our hurts. That temptation leads to pain. We're saying, God, deliver us from that, like we read in the Psalm. Legacy. And then finally he says this. What? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every single point about legacy that I made is in the Lord's Prayer. Wow. I think that might tell us about some important things in our legacy that we ought to be concerned about. Will you pray with me right now? Oh, Father, God, we are so grateful today because you are such a good Father to us. God, we're thankful that we can count on you for everything that we need now and always. And God, will you help us to fully experience the forgiveness that Jesus died to give us? And then, Father, let us live from that place so that we can learn to forgive others. Father, bring healing to our broken places and help us when we're hurting so that we don't get stuck and pass that hurt on to the next generation or next people in our lives. And Father, we want to seek your kingdom first. Give us the strength and the faith to do that from this day forward in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray now, listen, with every eye still closed, every head bowed. The beginning of your life in Christ starts with your acceptance of what he did for you. Just like we said, if you want real, true, complete forgiveness, it begins with accepting what Jesus did for you on that cross. Maybe there's somebody here today who hasn't yet made that decision. That's you. We're going to pray for you right now. But also, will anyone who has made that decision and experienced already the life-changing salvation that Jesus brings to your life? If you've experienced it, would you just say this with me as well in support of anyone who might be doing that for the first time? Just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins. I accept and I believe that you died so that my sins could be forgiven and I can have a new life in you. Wash me clean. Today, I make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name.